do your job.
Dad, like it's your job.
Do your job!
With Chris Zito.
Do your job.
He's a dad, a radio host, a father, a speaker, dad, an actor, a dad, a comedian, a dad, a husband, a dad, and, well, a dad.
Greetings, faithful listener. It is I, your illustrious host, Chris Zito. Welcome to Dad Like It's Your Job. Psyched about this week's guest, Art Eddy. He wrote a book a while ago with another guy that's terrific called The Life of Dad. And you can find that anywhere. Find it on Amazon, wherever you get books. And he's got a podcast called The Art of Fatherhood that we talk about a little bit. But this is a fun conversation. We go off on some non-dad tangents. Actually, I don't know if they're non-dad. But the thing is, I found out that, which I didn't realize when I booked Art and I met him online, that he was in radio for a while. So we talk a little bit about radio, talk about his old radio gigs, and then we also talked about Star Wars, because I got to tell you, I mean, we haven't moved this to YouTube yet, but hoping to at some point. It's just an audio pod now, but I always record on Zoom, because I feel like if we can see each other, it just helps the conversation. And I mean, he's sitting in this like room that's just filled with Star Wars collectibles. So we talk about Star Wars, we talk a little bit about radio, and of course, we talk about his podcast, The Art of Fatherhood. We find out about him being a girl dad and what his approach to this thing is, and I love it. And just as a, I don't know, it was just a really fun conversation. We laughed a lot, but we sort of kept going back and forth between these like little tangents and back to the fathering thing. Really fun conversation. Here he is, Art Eddy. Art Eddy, thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure, sir. Thanks for having me on here, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. I want to start like I do with all my guests. I want to get your dad credentials first. What do you got? Who are they? How old are they? What's happening over there?
So I got two daughters. I am a girl dad.
Okay.
I know it's been thrown a lot recently around, but like I was always excited to be, a dad of daughters. But I have two daughters, like I said. One's 16. Her name is Lily. The other one is 13. Her name is Jordan.
Lily and Jordan, they're both teenage girls. Well, that sounds unpredictable. So, I mean, I used to do, I'm a stand-up, and I used to do this bit about my two grown kids. One's a girl, one's a boy. They're a man and a woman now, but I used to talk about how boys were a little bit easier to deal with when they hit puberty because they were more predictable. Because my son hit puberty, he got angry, and he just kind of stayed angry all the way through high school. And then my daughter hit puberty. It was a little bit more like living with Sybil. It was kind of all over the map emotionally. Turn on a dime, you know what I mean? Get home from school, all upset, go in a room for 10 minutes, come out like nothing happened. A little crazy that way.
No, I get that. Like, I think, everyone paints this, but back in the day it was like keeping up with the Joneses. Now it's keeping up with like the Instagram parenting influencer, right? Where it's like they look like they're having a great time. And sometimes people will lay down the curtain and show you what's going on. But I think in any family, there's going to be happiness. There's going to be sadness. There's going to be like frustration. But with my daughters, I think, this, man, like authenticity is what rules, like, I think, a good relationship, no matter what type of relationship it is. And with my kids and my wife, we try and be totally open and honest with each other. And yeah, we're going to have some issues. I'm training my oldest how to drive, teaching her, and it's been going, well. But there has been moments where I'm like, you don't need to swear every time something happens. Like, it's all good, right? Like, I'm not the one that's I'm not about like not swearing, but I'm like.
But the thing is that when you're teaching a kid to drive, because I just taught the baby how to drive. That's number four. I've taught four kids how to drive. And this last one, I remember when she went for her first like official driving school lesson, I had been teaching her, and she got home and her mom said, "How was it? How was the teacher?" And it was like, she was like, "Oh, it was good." He goes, "So was that teacher calmer than dad?" And she was like, "Oh yeah." And I said, "Well, that teacher has a brake on his side of the car and I do not. So that makes a difference." Yeah. I that's just one man's opinion. But I want to go back to what you mentioned, authenticity. Such an important word, because this is something that I talk to dads about in their relationship with their kids, is that their children are people. And that's an easy thing to forget. Like, no matter how old they are, there is a way to communicate with them like they are a person. And, you know, you have to allow them to have their own reactions to things and that whole spectrum of emotion. So I like that word, authenticity.
Yeah, no, you know this. Like, I, you know, before we started recording, I was telling you, like, I used to work in radio as well. And for you, like, you know, kudos to you with your, you know, long radio career. It's all about when you have a show, you got to connect with people, right? And you,
yeah,
you might sometimes, you know, for me, I was kind of like the goofy sidekick slash co-producer. And, like, I would be like, you know, be like a kid that would, like, the guy that would take, you know, paintballs to the chest for people to win lottery tickets. It's like wacky, crazy, you know, morning show stuff. But like, on a level though, like, everybody would say like, oh, you're so nice. You're talking to people.
Yeah.
You're talking to all of us. You take time. Like, that's the thing where, like, you want to be authentic and you want to be true to yourself. And your kids, can you imagine if, like, you see, like, when you're out somewhere and, like, you kind of maybe know someone, whether it's from work, church, whatever, neighborhood, whatever, and you know that they are this way, but then all of a sudden they turn on some filter and you're like, what happened? Who is this person, right?
Right. Yes.
Our kids, if you do kind of act different in different situations, when you need to be, like, not like if you're at a funeral and you need to, like, not, like, calm the jokes down and be, like, you know, a little somber and stuff. But I'm saying, like, if you put, like, on a shtick, your kids would be, like, looking at you like, what's my dad doing, right? And so, like, they know, like, what they see at home is what they get, you know,
yeah,
when we're out and about and all that.
Right.
I just think, like, you have to be true to yourself. And I know it sounds like a, you know, ABC afternoon school special, but it's like, be true to yourself. You lay that foundation for your kids, for them to be true to themselves. I don't know, like, you say you have four kids. I felt like middle school for my daughters was a lot harder to navigate than high school, because I feel like almost because of social media, because kids have phones, everybody's growing up faster.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like in high school, kids kind of start finding themselves and being like, I don't need to, like, be this sort of person, or I don't need to be in the cool group or this or that perception.
Right.
Like, I feel like middle school is more like what high school was for me when I was growing up, and I'm in my 40s.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. They do kind of find their tribe. I remember going through that with the now 18-year-old. She's a senior, but in middle school, sitting with her counselor and saying, like, I can't figure out what's happening with this kid. And his response was, well, you got a fourth grader. This is 4, 5, and 6. In sixth grade, something turns. They start to find their tribe. And sure enough, what you're describing. But once again, I want to circle back, because you were talking about your radio gig. And for my listeners who may not know the nomenclature of radio, sounds like you were the stunt boy on the show, as we used to call him. Like, that's an extinct breed now. Nobody has a stunt boy anymore. But this is the guy. I remember years ago, I had a gig in Detroit, and our producer was also our stunt boy. And, like, there was a big, giant, like, python on the loose in this one neighborhood in Detroit. And so we rented a rabbit costume, because they like to eat rabbits. And so we had him there to draw out. And we hit the jackpot, because local news was doing a report, and the guy happened to be, like, right where our guy was. And I mean, you know, like, back then, that was the jackpot. Hey, man, free coverage on the local news, you know, which now nobody really watches anyway, you know? So there's nobody, most people in my demo aren't watching the local news. So, yeah, taking a paintball to the chest. I mean, did they ever, like, duct tape you to a billboard, anything like that? That kind of stuff?
Not, I mean, like that. They wanted me to, like, skydive one time. My wife's like, "Now you're good." Like, I can tell I'm a pilot, right? I flew one of those glider planes.
Wow.
We went up there, and, like, yeah, and so that was, like, the most, like, I guess, ridiculous thing I did. But yeah, like, you know this, man, especially when you're coming up in radio, you gotta wear every hat. I was, like,
right,
sometimes a receptionist. Before, like, this is the thing, before, like, people would get school cancellations on their phones.
Yes.
When I just started there, I would be there at 4 a.m. in New Jersey if it was a snow day.
Right.
And, like, take the calls and all that. I got punked by my co-host, or by the host. And he was, like, pretending to be an angry dad because he didn't hear his school get canceled or, you know, whatever. Then, like, 2 years later, I got him back and then the other stations back, because even though we had someone else running the phones, I would also update the websites about the school cancellations, and they would just read them off there.
Yeah.
As you can tell, this is an audio podcast, but you can see that I'm a Star Wars fan.
Yes, I was going to get to that.
After the schools, I said the Tosche station is closed due to a lack of power converters. And every station, the four stations, were reading that. And one person was like, why keep on referencing Star Wars? And it was
just that's beautiful.
And I think the best skit I ever did where I actually had salespeople and the director of sales come in and say, great job, is I had, again, being a collector, I still had like my old school laser tag stuff from like the late 80s, early 90s. And so I wore that all out, and I had like this little video like chess cam thing. I'd go in different places pretending I was a stand-up robot comedian.
Yeah.
And I freaked this one gym owner out because I was like talking in a monotone voice, being like, ha, is that stair climber seeing anybody? Ha, ha. And I wouldn't break character, and she was like freaking out. And she was like, I was almost going to call security on you, but like I was going to different stores. And one of the salespeople, like, I almost fell off the road driving, listening to you, knowing who you are
yeah.
and what you were. That was like the best one that right. I did. Were like, even like, you know this, man. Like, if people that you work with come in and be like, hey, man, nice job. Like, yeah. All right, you did something right, right?
Right, yeah. Because, the other people in radio, they, nothing makes them laugh. Nothing impresses them anymore. It's you get a little jaded. So, well, you mentioned this is an audio pod, but I can see all the Star Wars behind you. And so to bring it back to fatherhood, because I could sit here and talk about radio with you all morning, but you said you're a girl dad. And once again, you know, it's a real generalization, like I was making with the puberty, but are your girls into Star Wars at all?
Yeah, I mean, I have pictures of them when they were super little, like wearing frozen dresses and stuff like that, but we're in front of the TV watching A New Hope, watching, Empire Strikes Back. And I remember like the age of New Hope's not that bad. I remember Empire where the Wampa starts attacking Luke and he cuts off the hand. I was like blocking my hands from their eyes.
Yeah.
My youngest is like, she was probably like 4 or 5. She pushes my hand down, wants to see, and is like nodding her head. I'm like, all right, cool. Like they get it. They understand it. They're more, it's funny. They're, you know, with their ages and all that, they're more traditionalist, and like they love episodes 4, 5, and 6, the original trilogy.
Right.
The prequels my youngest kind of likes, and the sequels my kids don't like. I enjoy, like, I'm a type of Star Wars fan who's like a non-toxic one, just like pretty appreciates everything for what it is. I might see some flaws here and there, but we geek out over like Marvel and DC movies, mostly like Marvel movies. We'll play video games together. My youngest, she became a Bruins fan for us playing NHL 22 on the PlayStation 5. And we live in North Carolina. So anytime the Bruins come, like for a Christmas gift, or like a standing Christmas gift now, tradition is her and I go to a Bruins Canes game.
Okay.
And so she loves that. So we find different ways to bond over certain different things between my two daughters. And I feel like you need to have individual time as well as, you know, with my wife and my daughters, like group time. We'll go for a walk. We'll play pickleball.
Sure.
We'll do different sort of things. But having alone time, one-on-one time, I think is so, so good.
Yeah, that's a great thing to mention that I haven't actually talked a lot about on this pod, is this idea when you have more than one kid, taking that time, one-on-one time with dad. I remember the family I grew up in, there were 5 of us. So if you were alone with dad, that was a big deal. That's what, like, my poor dad, like, he couldn't leave the house to do something. He'd be like, honey, I'm going out to do that. And like all of us would be like, can I go? And it would be like, you know, getting picked in gym class. You know, he would look and like he would usually pick more than one of us because, you know, how's he going to pick? You know, if it's 3 of us that want to go, we usually all end up going. But every now and again, you'd get lucky and you could just go just be one on one with dad. And I remember those times, you know, it's really memorable.
Yeah. No. And they're great, too. I think, you know, there you see a shift now with the way dads are kind of perceived and the way that dads, well, no, I'm gonna strike that from the record. Dads still are kind of perceived sometimes as a Homer Simpson, you know, especially whether it comes to in marketing or whatever, it's still the moms, like you see like mom approved, kid approved, and you're like, all right, where's the dad?
Right.
But more and more people like in this circle, you probably find out too in with your podcast, just that dads really care. Dads want to be a little bit different than the 50s or 60s, come home, have a nice scotch. You're still wearing a suit and just being like, all right, cool. Go play outside or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're totally hands on. And I think a lot of people don't perceive that as much, you know?
Right. You know, that's come up a lot on the on this pod, and that's a big part of what I talk about, talking about, you know, provide for your family and still be a part of your family. Because I think that's still sort of in a guy's bones. Like for me, when I was growing up, I kind of had that feeling like when I become a father, I have to provide for my family. But yeah, my dad worked all the time, all the time. But then again, he had five of us. And I do have four, but I had like two, and then I had the other two. You know what I mean? I had kids when I was too young, and then I had them when I was too old. So
you're the opposite of Goldilocks, right? Like, yeah, everyone finds it. But again, like, I know I just made that joke, but like, in all fairness, it's like you have kids, I think, when you're ready for them, whether you're old, young, new, middle age, whatever. Like, I feel like life finds a way, as Jurassic Park, as, you know, Dr. Malcolm might say, you know, life finds a way. Yeah. See what happens. Like, I've talked to dads, and they almost feel embarrassed nowadays, whether if they started too young or if they had kids late in life. And it's like, if you can be there for your family and you can support them in any way which your family needs to be supported, like, you know, you're talking about, making sure you're taking care of your family. Like, for me and my wife raising two daughters, being in radio, she works in the healthcare field. They're like, all right, which is more stable? We didn't want to do the healthcare route. I mean, the daycare route. And like, all right, so who's going to stay home? And I became the stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
And you had people, both men and women, judge me and my wife, being like, well, why didn't the wife want to stay home? It's like, well, she is very successful, and I'm very proud of what she does. She keeps on climbing through the same company she's been working for, I'd say, over 15 years, 20 years now. And for me, it's like, I started, once I got a routine being a stay-at-home dad with my two daughters, I started writing for different outlets like Yahoo, Bleacher Report. Then I started doing a podcast with my old radio mates. And then I started working for a fatherhood website. And then I branched off and did my own. And like, I'm bringing money through like advertising my podcast and stuff. But it's like, you, when people see someone else, like, I feel like now even like LinkedIn has turned into like an Instagram of like work people. Cause it's like, oh, this is what I'm doing, or this is what I'm failing at, and all these other things. But like, it's okay to fail, and it's okay. But like, I hope, you know, you probably know this from talking to so many different dads, and I've experienced this with my podcast. It's like, everybody has their own route, and whatever works for you doesn't have to work for the next person. And so sometimes, especially again, going back to that like Instagram judging society, you see this person or this family take this trip left and right. It's like, okay, but like, are they in debt going all these trips? Do they really want to do it? Is this a media event? Like, there's so many different obstacles that you were like judging yourself. And like, I think we are our own worst critics. And then seeing other people like what they're doing, you add more fuel to that, like, fire, and you have self-doubt. So it's like, sometimes you need to take a break and just look at what you and your family are doing. And it's like, everybody's healthy, everybody's, you know, well fed, we got food, we got a roof under our over our head, so we should go there. I know I kind of went on a tangent, but just the idea of like what you said right there, like, oh, I had maybe kids too early or too late. It's like, don't worry what everybody else is doing. And we say the exact same thing to our kids, right? If your friends jump off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge?
Right.
Like, no, dad.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll share a story with you that I don't think I've shared on the pod before, is that, you know, my first two kids, they are grown. They were grown when like this last one came. The last one was the one that came really late. And I remember talking to my oldest, and I said to her, I said, you know, when this baby comes along, they're going to have a very different dad than you did. I was really young. I was trying to make rent. I was chasing rent. We moved a lot. You know, I had really no career. I was a kid. And, you know, this kid's going to have, you know, they'll have like state-of-the-art car seat with a carrier and, you know, the travel system as it's now known. And, you know, everything is so different. And I can afford this stuff now. And it's going to be a very different life. And she said to me, she said, well, you know, Dad, when I was growing up, when I was little, I never felt like we didn't have enough. It never felt that way to me. And it was probably the best dad compliment anyone has ever given me, you know, because we just,
and the fact that from your daughter is even more
better. Yeah, that's what was, it blew my mind because it made me realize that was one thing I had succeeded in. It wasn't like I was sitting with my kids going, I don't know how we're going to do this. I mean, I sat with their mom plenty of times. Their mom and I sat like that plenty of times. But we, you know, you don't have that conversation with them, you know. And that's what it was. It just was. They had a different life growing up. And I've had that conversation on this pod too, where when you have multiple kids, none of those kids really have the exact same parents, you know, because your life changes and your perspective changes.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you had that conversation with your oldest. Right. Like we sometimes if we, lost our temper or we let our kids down because, we thought that maybe we could do this event with them. And, it turns out like we already had a family event. So we couldn't go to this movie or you couldn't go to this whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. Having these conversations with your kids, especially right there, being like, hey, I just want to let you know, like we did what we could when you were growing up, and it might look a little different, but I love you just as much, and just having that conversation and her being like, yeah, that's fine. I think you were fine.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. And I love hearing you mention your podcast. I'm going to throw in an extra plug here. The Art of Fatherhood. That's your podcast. I assume it's available on the iHeartRadio app. I mean, that's what I just have to work that in too. So, and I think it's a very...
Oh, no, for sure. No, I totally get that. Yeah.
It's a great title,
listen,
too.
Listen there, but it's available when you get your podcast. I'll say that. No, but I was thinking about what to name it when I went off on my own, and I'm just like, well, I'm going to do a dad joke, right? Like, Art, that's my name.
Yeah.
Fatherhood. And there are a couple people. Like, I remember Jeff Kinney, who writes, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, right?
Yep.
I've interviewed him a few times, and the second time I interviewed him, he was like, hey, your name sounds familiar. Like, we talked before. Like, I remember the name Art Eddie, and plus, like, Art of Fatherhood. Like, I love that name. I was like,
yeah,
sweet. Like, the guy who has written so many awesome books, yeah, is actually like, okay, sweet. I have something there.
Yeah, he's a guy who came up with a pretty catchy title at one point in his career, right? So that worked out pretty well. Well, listen, I also want to plug your book. The book is The Life of Dad. And like I said, the podcast, The Art of Fatherhood, wherever you get your podcasts. Art, I'm thrilled to meet you, and I'm a bit of a Star Wars fan myself. I have one son and three daughters, and I know it's a cliche. My son is a huge, to this day, Star Wars fanatic. So, but the girls, not so much. But, hey, listen, they're all into their own thing,
Yeah. Favorite movie of the Star Wars series for you guys is what?
It's funny. I do like episode 4, but I'll tell you, I like the sequel trilogy too. I really liked it a lot. Like the prequels, not so much. But I really like Kylo Ren. I just love that character. Love him.
Yeah.
Love him. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah. What's your son's favorite?
I think it's probably New Hope also. We've watched it together. I mean, he's grown and flown. He lives in the Deep South, what he calls the Redneck Riviera. He lives on the Gulf Coast of Alabama. He was in Pensacola, then he moved west. Now he's across the Alabama line, but he calls it the Redneck Riviera. It's beautiful down there. But I I'm in Massachusetts. I don't get down there as much as I'd like to, but yeah. So we have to, we'll FaceTime about Star Wars occasionally, but I don't have a room like the one I'm looking at behind you. I mean, that is impressive, my friend. That's impressive. That's your that could be your retirement right there. I mean, how much is that worth, everything I'm looking at?
A decent amount, but then also, too, like, I'm a sneakerhead, so, like,
okay.
There's different, like, my wife one time was like, why, like, because I come from a family of collectors. My wife was like, what? And then when I sold some stuff off, she's like, oh. Okay, I get it now. I see it. Like, people trading stocks, people doing Bitcoin,
right,
minus collectibles. I don't look to, like, make deals off of it.
Yeah.
But when it comes, like, hey, maybe we could use this or that. Like, all right, see what I could do. I'm like, all right. And, like, some of the stuff helped. But, like, yeah, it's just over years of collecting. I mean, when you work in radio, it's for me, when I work for different companies, or I'd be sent to different places and they would give me a swag bag and it's like, has some cool stuff. So it's not like me buying all this stuff. My wife was like, I appreciate that. And I'm like, you bet.
That's cool. Well, Art Eddie, The Life of Dad, the book is out there. People can get it anywhere you get books. And don't forget to check out the podcast, The Art of Fatherhood. Art Eddie, thanks for doing this, man. It's great to meet you.
Thanks for the invite, man. Keep up the great work, and join us with you as well.
Thank you. Well, so there you go. Hopefully you enjoyed that as much as I did. I tell you, I love talking to this guy. And really cool. Obviously got the connections to New England, had the radio gig in Portsmouth, a Bruins fan. And bringing up one of his girls to be a Bruins fan, that's pretty cool. Don't forget to check out his podcast, The Art of Fatherhood, on the iHeartRadio app, as I mentioned, and wherever you get your podcasts, and the book, The Life of Dad. But really cool podcast, The Art of Fatherhood, and he's got some great guests on that pod. You know what? I got to reach out to him and say, hey, dude, how do you get all those famous guys on your podcast? Pretty cool. All right, in the meantime, let's all go on with the rest of our day, shall we? Thanks for listening. Tell your pals.